So we are continuing with our lesson, our overview of reality. We call this series of lessons overview. Until now, we've talked about the upper worlds and how they emanated from the thought of creation to do good to his creations. Here in the drawing, I drew it in advance. Normally, I make the drawing as I explain, but it was impossible to do all that during the lesson. So I did it in advance. Here, schematically, we have some combination of both worlds, the spiritual and the corporeal. What we learned in previous lessons, in this general overview, is how, from the thought of creation, a situation was made where Malchut, the foundation of the future creature in the world Ein Sof, that received all the light, felt shame, made the tzimtzum, the restriction on itself, and decided to reach equivalence of form with the giver, with the emanator. And that is actually how the emanator arranged the arrangement of powers to make the creature think that. And Malchut, which operates toward it, is still, well, still doesn't feel itself as the operator. We're still talking about the substance of creation being the will to receive, which reacts this way to the influence on it from above, from the pleasure and the giver of the pleasure. So in Malchut Ein Sof, in this Malchut of the infinite, appear the reshimot, the reminiscences. And according to these reshimot, it can operate and begins to operate with the masach, with the screen on its will to receive, makes its tzimtzum and begins to build the first system of relationship after the tzimtzum of reception in order to bestow. And thus, the five patsufim of Olam, the world Adam Kadmon, come out. There's no creature here, it's just nature. The substance, which is the will to receive, reacts in this manner to the two forces that operate on it, the pleasure and the giver of the pleasure. Once it reacts, to these two forces and deduces all the Rishimot from Ein Sof, then from the five Rishimot, Dalet Gimel, 4 by 3, 3 by 2, 2 by 1, and 1 by 0, five Potsufim of Adam Kadmon come out. And that's the filling of the upper nine, in fact. The upper nine are the b'chinot, the discernments, prior to Malchut. They only become sfirot once you begin to receive in order to bestow. So here they are impressed with how Malchut is similar or dissimilar to them. So on the one hand, there's the first symptom that operates on them. On the other hand, there's the intention to bestow. So they restricted themselves and then decided to operate with the Masach in the way that the world Adam Kadmon has five overall forms of reception, with lights of Naran Chai Nefesh Ruach Neshama Chaya Yechida. In that, the Rishimot from Ein Sof complete their realization, and it is no longer possible to receive in order to bestow, and we are left with a part called Malchut itself, from Tabor to Siyun. In that part, it is impossible to receive in order to bestow. There is no strength in the creature to do any act of bestowal. There is only the Tzimtzum here. The Tzimtzum is there according to the will of the creature, of course, who does not want to come to a disparity of form from the Creator. So that's the Tzimtzum, and the creature as yet cannot express any act, cannot manifest any act of its own. So we learned that in order to help the creature somehow advance in its bestowal upon the Creator, in its resemblance, to similarity to the Creator. So it's not the light that as it filled the Kli in the world in itself and gave it the sensation of the emanator and corrected this way the Kli in actions in order to bestow that were afterwards manifested, executed in the world Adam Kadmon. But here, Bina from the Pratsofim of Adam Kadmon comes down to the Siyum of Galgalta, from Tabu to Siyum to Galgalta, Sof of Golgotha. So it comes down to this Malchut and gives this Malchut the sensation of Bina. From Tabul to the Parsa expands pure Bina. Here there's still strength to bestow in order to bestow, but from Parsa to Siyum, here the new Tzimtzum operates, the second Tzimtzum. Because here Malchut and Bina begin to influence on one another and restrict one another. Malchut is unable to receive anything from Bina here. Anything it receives will be in order to bestow, and that's why Malchut restricts Bina, creates the Parsa, and says, up to the Parsa, the powers of Bina dominate me when Bina and Malchut join. Here it is possible for Kedusha, for sanctity to expand. And that's why this place is called the world Atzilut. And from Parsa to Siyum, no light can expand, only it's called light of Tolada, some tiny luminescence. Because here I cannot receive any light in order to bestow. So only a small part of Malchut is then fulfilled from Tabor to Parsa, and it's also not actual fulfillment, because here Bina controls, it's bestowing in order to bestow, it's not the nature of Malchut, and therefore here too there is still no tikkun, correction. So in order to bring the creature, this part from Tabor to Siyum, to tikkun, to correction, in the world of Nikudim there was a breaking of the vessels, meaning Malchut and Bina joined together in an act called the breaking of the Masachim, the screens, the borders, and then Bina and Malchut mixed together, the attributes of Bina and Malchut, but on the level of in order to receive, which is the level where they can be in order to together. Malchut can't be in order to bestow. Malchut can't rise to the level of Bina and mix with it in its power or in its act. The mixture can only be if you break the borders between them. It's a very serious act, because then Malchut and Bina fall to a state where they are completely opposite from the Creator, but there's no other choice, because otherwise Malchut would not be able to reach tikkun, correction. If we look at the act itself, it's a very serious, grave, terrible act. There's nothing worse than that. Actually, you might say, if that's the case, that the first Tzimtzum is also as an act, a very serious act. Any act of departure from the Creator is an unnatural act and is considered serious in spirituality. Anyhow, Malchut connects with Bina in the breaking of the vessels and the breaking of the Masachim. the screens, and we learn about it from the words of Kabbalists, that now the worlds of Abiya come up from the remains of the broken vessels, from desires that do not have a masach, a screen. Now, through the tikkun, the correction of the kelim, the worlds are being created. First, the world of Tzilut was created from kelim that were easy to correct. Galgal Ta'anayim did not actually break themselves, but because they were joined with the kelim of Achap in the world of Nikudim, and then kelim that were made as new from the joining of Galgal Ta'anayim and Achap, and from them the three worlds B'leit Asiya were made, meaning the world of Tzilut, which is Galgal Ta'anayim, imprinted its form in Ozen Choten Pe, and then the worlds B'leit Asiya came out. We learn that these worlds are they stand up to Chazed Yetzira, and below Chazed Yetzira we are left with a place for the kelim that cannot be corrected but are only restricted and refrain from using. It is impossible to use them. These are called kelim de klipa, or klipot, shells, or the shell section, madol klipot. It's from Chaze Yetzira to Siyum. These kelim will be only corrected from above, through a special act from above. If the creature expresses its desire to be corrected in everything else that it can perform, then it will also kind of compel the upper force, the emanator, to correct the kelim that the creature himself itself cannot correct because it belongs to the nature of the creature, to its stony heart. So once the five worlds, Adam Kadmon and Abiyah, come out, now there is a concealment on the Creator, on the Emanator, on the Upper Light, past all these worlds. Meaning now, according to the 5 degrees of Aviyut, coarseness in the creature, in Machud and Sof, we have 5 degrees of concealment. Adam Kadmon, Atzilut, Bria, Yetzira, Asiya, where after these 5 concealments, neither light of Ein Sof nor the giver, the emanator, are felt by the future creature that is about, that should be made. Now, why is that so good? It's good because the future creature has to be a creature, meaning stand on its own, be independent, have its own self vis-a-vis the Creator. It must have free choice, the sensation of freedom, lack of pressure from any direction. It has to stand on its own and decide freely what it prefers, which attributes, which states, and which goals. And this form can only be if the Creator is concealed as being the giver, and also the pleasure is hidden from the will to enjoy. As we remember, when Malchut Ein Sof began her actions, she started them from Bchina Bet, in the Dalet Bchinot Dor Yeshar, the fourth phase of direct light, when the Bchina Bet felt the giver of the pleasure and the pleasure itself, two attributes. So here too we have to come to a concealment where we don't feel the pleasure or the giver of the pleasure. If we jump forward, then we have two kinds of concealment, double concealment and single concealment. In the single concealment, we correct the lack of the sensation of the host. Oh, that's a double concealment. In the single concealment, we correct the sensation of the lack of pleasure. In that, we come to correction. to the correction, where even though we don't feel the host or the pleasure, we make the right decisions freely. But that happens from below upward, when we start rising in our tikkunim, in our corrections, at the end of time. Here, in the meantime, we are in a state where we have five worlds, and now the creature has to be made, which will be called Adam. Adam, because this part of Malchut Densof has to be similar to the Creator, and thus realize the purpose of creation, which is to do good to his creations. Where if the creature comes to be like the Creator, it comes to the best possible state, or the only good state that exists in reality. As Malchut of the world Atzilut begets the world's Briya Yetzirah Asiya, so Malchut of the world Atzilut begets the Pratzuf Adam HaRishon, by taking the Malchut from the middle point in itself and connecting it with, well, actually, the Siyum of the Kedusha, which is a Chazer de Yetzirah. From this combination, combination of the corrected upper nine toward Malchut and Malchut, which is taken from Ein Sof, with that combination, the Pratzuf of Adam HaRishon was made. The special thing about it is that its Malchut belongs to the very primordial matter that the Creator created, which operates behind the concealment of all five worlds, and can then manifest itself with respect to these concealments. Yes, what it prefers: to be in concealment and like the Creator, or to want the pleasures, regardless of how much it is connected to the Creator. So past the concealment, past the worlds where both the host and the pleasure from the host are hidden, this Malchut, the first matter that the Creator created, the natural desire, the true desire, should now evolve in order to decide for itself. Because this matter is still not connected to the Kedusha, to sanctity, to the upper nine, to acts of bestowal, to knowledge about the appearance of the Creator in the upper nine, it stands seemingly down at the bottom of Patsuf Adam HaRishon, or actually from his Chazeh down, and is still not connected to all the attributes of bestowal and the thoughts of bestowal, and hence does not understand them. It's a very similar situation to the state of the world Nikudim prior to the breaking. So here too we have the same necessary act of breaking this Patsuf in order to mix the attributes of bestowal, the upper nine, with its Malchut, which is obtained through a special act called misleading Adam HaRishon on the eve of Shabbat, when Adam HaRishon rises with all the worlds through a special act from above, where upper light comes from above and raises the worlds together with Adam in them to a level where he almost enters Kedusha above the Parsa, but still some of his Kelim are below the Parsa. He can't see it, can't notice it, and uses them in order to bestow, but that was his original intention. But because of that, he breaks, although he had the right intention. The Kelim did not have a Masach to receive in order to bestow, so he breaks, and his parts fall to the world's Bia, which descend to their place, to the situation that they're drawn here. And then Adam HaRishon, with all the parts of his body, the entire Partsuf of Adam HaRishon is called Neshama, soul, or creature. Nivra, in Hebrew. We should write Adam HaRishon, creature. Nivra or Neshama, soul. The general soul, collective soul. This pasuk is called Neshama because the highest level of correction it can reach before Gmar Tikkun is Neshama. And the degree of Chaya and Yechida can join the degree of Neshama only to a very small amount. So Adam HaRishon broke, parts of him fell to the world's Bia, and also vis-a-vis this holy Abiyah that were built, the impure Abiyah is now erected. Actually, the difference between these worlds is that the wants of the shortcomings of Adam HaRishon after the breaking are all, well, they manifest or they appear in the impure Abiyah. So what we see is that Klipot, the shells, are a necessary thing. It is through them that the shortcoming and the wants in the Neshama appear through them. They appear through the Klipot in the Neshama, and then one understands what desires, what Rashimot, reminiscences, one must correct in order to move on to the next phase in his ladder of corrections. So the fact that Abiyah de Tuma, the worlds, were made here as assistance to the broken vessels, and then the broken vessels between the pure and impure Abiyah disclose the difference between the positive and negative forces, bestowal and reception, and as they're in them, it gives them a sensation and ability to choose and distinguish, discern their own nature. Actually, the worlds are the projection of the attributes of the broken vessels on the upper light. These worlds do not exist in some spiritual realm outside of a person. They are a part of the structure of our structure. Without Adam, without us, there are no worlds or place for the worlds. It's all about us and how we perceive reality. But by breaking Adam HaRishon, meaning the spiritual kli, when it is now a broken part, 600,000 parts, because he was broken through the light that comes from the Rosh of Arichanpin, that which is the number 10,000. Arichanpin, Adam HaRishon is Vak, six, last six Sefirot. So when it reaches Gal, six times 10 Sefirot times 10,000. Again, the six Vak times 10 Sefirot in each times 10,000, that's the power of the light that it breaks. That gives us the number of the broken parts, 600,000 parts. We can also write 600,000 souls, broken souls. Now that state that the souls are in the spiritual world between the impure Abiyah and the pure Abiyah, that's not enough yet to determine one's free choice and actually become a creature, because a creature is one who is not only opposite from the Creator in attributes, but one who doesn't feel the presence of the Creator, and who doesn't feel any pressure from the upper one, from the giver, from that he created me, and that there's a goal here and a purpose, some commitment of the creature toward the creator, etc. So we have to bring the creature to a much greater concealment than the kelim are in, even after the breaking of the kelim. So the breaking of the vessels has to come to bring the creature to a state where it reaches its primordial substance and starts from there, meaning after there's a breaking, there's a mixture between Bina and Malchut that is acquired here, is Bina and Malchut, that are together. This mixture, each and every element of the connecting of Bina and Malchut, must now come to a state where it seemingly begins the way from scratch, from existence, from absence. But in this existence out of absence, in the creature, when it comes from the absence and the will to receive, even there, there's already a spark of being. So in that state, is called Olam Hazeh, this world. It begins in the same way as there is evolution in spirituality, as we had with the will to receive that was not connected to Bina, that did not understand that there is an attribute outside of me, and there is an emanator who operates. Yes, it didn't happen in the worlds. It happened in Adam Rishon, and even him, it happened only in the form of Nefesh de Nefesh, because he received all the attributes and the forces, the powers from above, without a prior need for it. So there's no sensation of the actual reality. So here we run for the first time into, well, the beginning of the creature, who within contains the part of the emanator within it. And that's where our universe begins. Now, I drew like an arrow here that comes and builds the matter in our universe as if it comes directly from spirituality. The truth is that there is no connection between spirituality and what we call corporeality. There is no direct connection, but there's a replica or a projection. The same matter from the breaking of Adam now begins to be scrutinized, sorted through the light that operates on it. In other words, Rishimot, from the breaking of Adam Rishon, come to such a complete shattering that they remain raw Rishimot when Bina and Malchut join together. In all sorts of in all their possibilities to join. Dalet, Gimel, Bet, Aleph, Shoresh, Bina, and Malchut, and all kinds of interminglings, any possible way of connecting. So the scientists pretty much tell us, for the time being, we'll accept their presumption is correct. From about 15 billion years ago, if we take time as something that exists toward us, with respect to us, because there's no other way for us to express the order of actions in our world except through times. Afterwards, we'll talk about the perception of reality, the concept of time, why we can't talk about ourselves any other way, but only when we use the concept of time. So about 15 billion years ago, matter began to be made. Now this matter, of this world, the corporeal, the physical, is still a will to receive, a desire to enjoy, but it's got sparks of bina, of the desire of the Creator within. That's why this matter evolves. It's alive. It absorbs, and there's not a single particle in it that does not contain two contradicting forces, the rejecting and repelling force, absorption and ejection, pressure and from the outside inwardly and from the inside outwardly. So this balance in every particle of matter and every possibility there is exists this way, from the tiniest particle to the greatest conglomerate of parts. Not only in the steel, even the steel is not steel, it's also alive within. It's got its own laws and operates, and it works. The reason it's considered steel or inanimate is because the will to receive in it does not accumulate, is not made, it doesn't change. Is not being made. Afterwards, about 3 or 4 billion years ago, our solar system and planet Earth were made. And as Bala Sulam writes, for several dozens of millions of years, the Earth was cooling and heating and cooling and heating until the heat became intrinsic and remained inside, and a hard crust was made. And about 300 million years ago, life on Earth began first. The flora, and then the animate level, and as we see, according to the surfacing of the Rishimot, any Rishimot that appears as cause and consequence, one after the other, they beget, or they come to a form of life more complex. Creatures are made until about 150 million years ago. Creatures were made that live according to our regularity, so to speak. And about 5 million years ago, the time of the Rishimot came to a creature called man. Although biologically this man is like we are, it still didn't develop internally, and it still took millions of years to develop internally until about 40,000 years ago, it came to a certain man who was living with his clan or family, who began to believe in forces, natural forces, meaning he began to feel that he doesn't know everything, but suddenly he began to feel that he was pretty alone in his work, left, abandoned in his work, in his world, sorry, that there are forces that he doesn't understand, that there are incidents, that incidents accumulate, that a sensation was made in him of something that exists outside of him, that controls him, dominates him in a way that he cannot know and understand. That created the beginning of the ancient belief systems. And that began, that started the ancient civilization of people who lived in clans. And that was until about about the time of Adam HaRishon, Adam. Now, Adam was a real person who evolved out of the previous, his own previous forms, to a level that he was the first to attain godliness. Meaning, he was the first to have, unlike those he was living with, he was the first in whom the Rishimot of Bina erupted, compared to Malchut. So, he realized that there was an upper force. Of course, this attainment, although it was an attainment, it was nevertheless very lucid, very pure, fine, because his kelim were still very, very pure. The Rishimot, as we know, evolve from light to coarser and coarser, from finer to coarser. So, as tradition has it, he even expressed his knowledge, his discoveries, in a book called Raziel HaMalach, The Angel Raziel. From him we get the Hebrew letters and the writing in general. It comes to us from Adam HaRishon, from Adam, and after Adam there began an evolution where from his time onward as a result of him, or after his soul, new souls came, emerged in people, meaning discernments in people who could attain spirituality, and also Adam HaRishon taught him. So the 20 generations between him and Abraham were generations of Kabbalists already, who were at this or that level of degree of connection with the upper force, meaning the Rishimot began to be scrutinized in them in accordance with or in connection with the thought of creation attained by man. Finally, Abraham came, who discovered the thought of creation, the Rishimot, in a very substantial manner. Why? Because he established the method of disclosure, discovery, and correction, and that's why it's called Abraham, the Av Ha'am, the father of the future nation, who would be entirely the, like the parts of the soul of Adam HaRishon. So he gave us Sefer Yetzirah, the book of creation. Humanity did advance in the meantime, along with the progress of Kabbalists, and the will to receive had to go through its four levels of review, Shorosh Aleph, Bet Gimel Daled, and come to a state where in Bchinat Daled, the last degree of review, there is a breakout of the will to receive in its tiniest desires and the lowest desires, meanest desires, and they too should join the correction and the desire for similarity with the Creator. So we have to look at this evolution among those who attain the Creator and are thus correct their souls from Adam HaRishon onward. Those are called Israel because they want Yeshar Kel, straight to the Creator. And there's a general evolution too. And what is that? It's besides Israel. Israel. It's those souls, those, we'll say, people who as yet do not feel an urge because of the manifestation of their Rishimot to know the Creator and come near Him. So there are those in whom the Rishimot erupt, so to speak, in their Bchina Bet, in Bina. Those Rishimot compel the person to start looking for a fulfillment to this need that has risen, and that person becomes a Kabbalist. And there are Rishimot where Bina is suppressed by Malchut because of the joining of Bina and Malchut after the breaking. Everyone has both Bina and Malchut, both kinds, but of course it depends which operates more in a person, and accordingly one operates. So we have to see to what extent the ego evolves, the will to receive evolves in Kabbalists and in humanity in general. Kabbalists kind of ride over humanity. They advance over the increasing and inflaming ego over time. So we learned in Adam HaRishon, if prior to Adam HaRishon and Abraham there was a time of, we said that it was a time when man began to think about nature, about forces, natural forces that he doesn't know. And people already believed in things. They had beliefs. So from Adam to Abraham, polytheism began. Abraham's father, Terach, was an idol worker. He was a worshiper of natural forces. He gave them all kinds of shapes and forms. He attached to them all kinds of seemingly dominations. He was known as an idol worker. And Abraham, from that, came to realize that there's only one upper force, which is good, and that there is no evil here. That's a very important rudiment. Until today, there are the same beliefs exist in everyone, in every person, and in humanity in general, where we think that there are several forces in the world, bad force, good force, and that people are can be in either one. People are looking for fortune, that there's that they want to escape evil eye, and they don't understand that it all comes from one force, and this one force is will operate on us in this manner in order to bring us to the good. And the division, this good division is only divided within us into good or bad, depending on our level of understanding and correction or corruption. So Abraham was the first to discover that everything comes from one source, that there are no thousand forces or systems, good or bad, as we later on see in ancient Greece. and what they thought about the forms of God, how they were getting married and fighting, and meaning they projected their own form, their own perception on the upper forces. These primitive forms exist to this very day, of course. But Abraham, with his revelation of godliness, he was the first to discover it in this deterministic, correct, and systematic way. He also discovered how this upper force operates on us and how we can connect to it. And he thus passed on his method of correction, of discovery, and the disclosure of reality, the perception of the right reality. He gave it on to his sons and to his disciples. And from him began a different time in humanity. Actually, from Abraham on, began the time of slavery. The will to receive, the ego in humanity, began to be to grow. It grew to a level where people wanted now to dominate others. They felt it's worthwhile for them. They began to feel an urge for it in their egos. And although Abraham and his disciples developed in monotheism, meaning that there's only one force that operates, and they want to equalize in form, and it's only good, and the evil comes only because we stand vis-a-vis it. And that's why we think that it is bad because of our ego. It stands opposite it. So vis-a-vis that perception, vis-a-vis that monotheistic perception, the polytheistic perception evolved, where all the nations, including the more progressed ones, including Rome and Greece, etc., up until about until the 5th century AC, everyone still bowed before natural forces, and they thought that this is what was operating on them. And from Abraham on, we know that the majority of humanity, with the part of Malchut that suppresses Bina in it, and a small part of humanity exists where Bina overcomes Malchut. These are called the descendants of Abraham. And they have to go through quicker phases in their development, because Bina itself speeds up this development, meaning the will to receive has to manifest in them more quickly, so they enter an exile in Egypt, where by doing this both physically and spiritually, they go through the sensation of inner and physical enslavement, where they reach the understanding that they have to exit Egypt, meaning, well, in corporeality we know what enslavement means, but in spirituality, yes, we said that there are two sides, sanctity and klipa. So that method that they received from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the middle line system, the method of advancing in dvikut, in adhesion with the upper force. So vis-a-vis that, the world of klipot began to manifest for people who were already in spiritual consciousness. We're talking about the 70 people who came down to Egypt. So they began to feel forces opposite holiness. So between these two systems of impurity, which are generally called Pharaoh, vis-à-vis the forces of Kedusha, of the Creator, so they felt that they were in between them, meaning people started scrutinizing over the will to receive, started scrutinizing the connection between Bina and Malchut. What could they do with Malchut if it was constantly growing and that they had to go above it and correct it? That's the whole thing about the enslavement, that they felt that they constantly had to restrict Malchut so as to remain as the people of Israel among the Egyptians, until they finally came to a situation where they could no longer be dominated by Malchut this manner, in this way. It could no longer be restricted, or they would come to a state of death, and the state of the ten plagues came, where people had to dominate Bina over Malchut. And as we know in the story about the Exodus, about how they fled from Egypt. In this manner, one flees from Malchut. He knows that he can't work with Bina and Malchut together. He has to get some help from the upper force in order to restrict Malchut and join Bina. And this escape is called the exit from Egypt. The miracle of the exit from Egypt. This is how they come to the reception of the Torah. That's about the 13th century BC. And then they receive the system. The will to receive that grew in Egypt, for them, the system of Abraham is not enough. They have to receive another system, the desire of man and one's natural recognition of godliness according to the Rishonot is not enough. Now they have to perform certain mental interior actions toward others in avut, in mutual guarantee toward others, and in bonding with others. He has to create such conditions to the additional of Yudinit so that the upper light will influence it in the form of light that reforms, and this is called Torah, and that brings one to correct his soul so that he can acquire a masach over the increasing of Yud and the intention to bestow. And that's the method called Torah. And with this method, they advanced. The children of Israel, meaning those who have acquired the method of Abraham, and after the addition of the desire in them that they received in the enslavement from Egypt, I mean, we have to understand that they were that at the same time, the will to receive evolved in people and the Bina part in them. And this whole time is called the time of enslavement in Egypt. At the same time, humanity evolved and reached a situation where the will to receive the part of Malchut compared to Bina was constantly growing, and still the parts of Bina were unfelt as being inside this Kli of Malchut in the nations of the world. So there's Israel, where the part of Bina peers over Malchut, and then one awakens to make the tikkun, and there are the nations of the world where there's still no appearance of Bina, but Malchut dominates in its evolution over over man. So the children of Israel who have received who had received this system can now build the Beit HaMikdash, the temple house, and reach Mochin de Neshama, the highest lights, and so they live accordingly and are therefore living in the land of Israel. Now, what is the land of Israel? We've said that the world of Adam Kadmon is similar to the world of Tzilut and Briah and Yetzirah, where all the spiritual worlds are in fact an expansion of the physical worlds, the physical land are an expansion of the physical force, the spiritual force within matter. The difference between the worlds is only the substance, but not the form. The form in all of them, the spiritual worlds, is bestowal. So in this world, although this matter, the matter in this world is egoistic, and the still vegetative animating speaking for matters here, there is only the force of attraction in them, drawing. In the still, or in the animate, or in the vegetative, or in the speaking here, in the conceptual, even in the spiritual, it's all drawing. So it's a different substance, but the form of it is the same. So just like the spiritual worlds are similar, and in that they are similar, similarly, seemingly parallel, so the last world, Asiya, imprints itself in this world too. It's not that there's a connection between the worlds, but the same form projects to this world. So to the extent that our world advances in the development, in the elicitation, in the manifestation of its substance, the form which is more and more similar to the upper world appears. Its projection appears. So in this world too, we have a division just like in the world's Abiyah, where the part of Atzilut in it still hasn't been realized in this world, but the parts that are of Bina in it, in projection to our world and its connection to Malchut, renders in our world, creates in our world places that are seemingly holier. There's no sanctity in them. The sanctity is brought by man, by being in sanctity in his own soul. But the relationship between these places is seemingly like the relationship between the Kedusha and the Klipa in the spiritual worlds. So, if the world's Bia are divided in such a way where in the world Bria there's the temple house, Mount Moriah, Jerusalem, Israel, I wrote it down here, on the land of Israel, in Chazed de Bina, and then the lower half of Bina is Jordan, Tanhi in the world, Buya, and then Malchut de Buya is Syria, and below, well, up to Chazed Yitzirah, that's Babel, Babylon. So up to Chazed Yitzirah, they are still, these are zones, or correspondingly in the spiritual world, in Bia, there's still the influence of luminescence, of Kedusha, sanctity, from Atzilut. Whereas, the parts below Chazed Yitzirah, they already belong to the shell section, Madol Klipot, and we call it overseas, so to speak, abroad. They are farther, outside of the land. So it is expressed in us by the conquests of King David, who conquered everything that belongs to the world Yetzirah. Because until then, there's a domination of Malchut Atzilut, and he corresponds to Malchut Atzilut, King David.
And then, according to the revelation of Roshimot inside them, the people of Israel come to a state that they cannot build the temple, meaning to come to the corporal land of Israel, according to their spiritual state.
When they are in a spiritual state, so they reach the corporal land of Israel and build a temple house, which is already the manifestation of Mochin de Chaya in their soul. In this world, it is called the first temple. So they are in that state, in the highest spiritual state ever that appeared from above downward. We still have to understand that what appears from Adam HaRishon through Abraham and through all his descendants and disciples, that's still appearance from above downward. It's not exactly doesn't exactly match what happened in spirituality, because we said that in corporeality there has to be the same process as in spirituality, but that process still hasn't materialized. We are still advancing as we come, as the worlds come down from above downward, from zach to atom, from pure to coarse. So the will to receive is still growing. It's growing in the nations of the world, in the children of Israel, and then the children of Israel begin to descend from this high level, from the first temple, and they come to a state where they split up into two parts, Judea and Israel, Yehuda and Israel, and then they come to a situation about 550 BC, where the 10 tribes move from the land of Israel and disappear. They vanish. The connection of the parts of Bina with the parts of Malchut begins. The connection between Israel and the nations of the world. So these 10 tribes disappear. They should only manifest at the end of the generations. And this period in the nations of the world corresponds to the prosperity of the polytheism and the beginning of the Eastern teachings, Eastern religions, Confucianism and Buddhism, and all those from the whole area of the Indochina subcontinent. Lao Tse, there are many philosophers and founders of the Eastern religions. They, at that time, began their teachings. They started disclosing their discoveries, so to speak, to the Eastern peoples, and then these religions and beliefs were made, formed. At that time, in the peoples that are closer to Israel, philosophy began. The prophets that were engaged in the wisdom of Kabbalah had they were connected to the Greek, to the neighbors, so to speak, and so some leakage of material or perception of reality that the people of Israel had broke through to the nations of the world. And because on the one hand they heard about the knowledge, but on the other hand they still didn't have the actual recognition of the spiritual world, because the Rashimot from Bina still didn't manifest in them. So they copied, so to speak, the knowledge about spirituality, but they copied it to the corporate matter, and that created the corruption called philosophy. So this evolution finally came to the state of the ruin of the first temple, where the division continued in the people, not only in the split between the 10 tribes and the 2 tribes and the disappearance of the 10 tribes, but there was there were disputes within the remaining part between Tzedukim and how they asked the exile in Babylon for 70 years. They came back from there. It was an exile for the purpose of quick redemption, because they had to. Exile in Babylon is kind of a purification, like in the breaking of the two Tzufim in the world Nikudim. So they returned and started building the second temple, which was built actually by the son of Queen Esther in Achashverosh. So in this exile, they prepared the kelim and obtained Mochin Deneshama to build the second temple. And when the corruptions started there in the second temple, they caused the appearance of the Romans and the rise of the Romans, the Roman Empire. It says that if one falls, the other rises. Yes, Kedusha and Klipa, sanctity and Klipa. In history, we can see how when Israel fall from their Kedusha, from the Tikkun in them, there is immediately prosperity in the nations of the world, but not the better ones in the nations of the world, but the worst among them. So in that, they strengthened the Roman government and came to Israel, and the children of Israel once more descended to such a level that they could no longer belong to the land of Israel, or even to Jerusalem and to the temple in spirituality, and hence in corporeality too. So the Romans came here, and in the year 70 AD they ruined the temple, the physical temple. Of course, the inner temple was broken in the hearts of Israel before that, as Rabbi Akiva taught, love thy friend as thyself, and he thought he could this way correct the wrong that was appearing in the souls of Israel, and he couldn't do it. So the people was exiled, and as a result it was exiled in corporeality too. And so at the end of this time, we received the Book of Zohar, where it is written that at the end of that time, it will appear at the end of the exile. So now, after this whole time, we have received the Book of Zohar. As a result of the fall of the children of Israel from spirituality completely, something didn't happen from the time of Adam HaRishon. With Adam HaRishon, it began to manifest. And now the children of Israel, those souls that were at a spiritual level, they lost it, and they broke the spiritual awareness. So these sparks of Kedusha that entered Malchut through the breaking caused the making of the religions. From the right side it is Islam, from the left side it is Christianity, and the people of Israel fell from its natural religion, which is the wisdom of Kabbalah, to its exterior religion, which is what we know of today as Judaism, with all its traditions in this world, which are nothing more than a replica of spirituality. So the exile continued because this left Klipa, Christianity, conquered Rome, and through Rome it expanded to the rest of the world, Rome. So there was a process, a very complex process, started here. This is not the time to go over it. It's a whole process that is fundamentally the manifestation of the relationship between Bina and Malchut in these souls. And the more Israel are among the nations, and the more they have to mix with them, mingle with them, because it had to mingle with them, it was now exiled, and now it has to live among all nations in corporeality, in the physical world, because these parts have to afterwards rise to spirituality. And so we have to understand that Christianity and Islam are previous, so to speak, forms, just like Judaism during the exile is also the previous form of manifestation of religion. They all precede the appearance of the true religion, which is, as Baruch Salam calls it, the religion of bestowal, as Baruch Salam calls it in his article, The Solution. So this exile continues through afterwards, people of Israel goes through Spain, Germany, in Europe, in the Arab countries, Muslim countries, and at the time of the Middle Ages, the will to receive increases. There is a time when the future of humanity ripened. They think that the Middle Ages is a time when nothing happened. It's actually the opposite. It's a time when the rudiments for the making of the Renaissance and capitalism and the Industrial Revolution, all the elements that are basics of it, the fundamentals for that were made then, the time of the Enlightenment, Mendelssohn and all those in the 17th century. So on top of this history, we should also see the primary development, is the time of slavery and the time of the Middle Ages and the time of the capitalism. In religions that were established as a result of the exile of Israel and the fall of Israel from spirituality to corporeality, the Islam and the Christianity, we have to consider them progress compared to the previous states. Because if the previous state was polytheism, where there were many forces and many gods and all kinds of beliefs, here you might say it is a belief in one force, although in Christianity it's not exactly that, but we'll discuss it and see why it comes in all kinds of in this kind of transition. So humanity advances through times of fanaticism in the Middle Ages, when it's still unaware, it begins to connect to the upper force but doesn't understand how. So in the end it comes to the growth of the ego, which brings on the time of the Renaissance, when culture begins to prosper, and man becomes the dominating. The ego grows, and if in the state prior to Adam HaRishon, or during the time of Adam HaRishon, people's ego were virtually non-existent. They were like animals. They lived in caves, in nature. They didn't see a difference between themselves and nature. The will to receive, the ego, was still small. Afterwards, from Adam onward, when the big cities were made, Mesopotamia, the whole culture there, then people started identifying themselves with their city, with their clan. They started feeling themselves and their environment. The ego grew. And then came the time of belief in the upper force. So, accordingly, people thought, I am the powerful one, I am the unique one in nature. The growing ego makes one understand that about God and about himself. So, the ego that grew afterwards grew to a level where about from about the time of enlightenment in the 17th century. Why did the time of enlightenment come? Because the ego grew so much to a level where it's not the upper force that's the most important thing, but I am the most important thing. So here began a revolution within mankind. The atheism began, where people stopped connecting to the upper force, and they said, I am the center, at the center of reality. And then began the industrial revolution, and people began to feel that they have to conquer nature and conquer the environment. So again, the Industrial Revolution supported it, because the stronger man is, the stronger his ego, and so we see that in the end, humanity broke from the desire for money and honor to knowledge. Humanity regards itself above nature, above reality. The time of anthropocentric era began, where man is the center of reality. Besides thinking about that of himself, people stop believing rumors, so to speak, non-substantiated facts. They rather place their own research, own experiments, and experience of nature and of human society as facts, instead of beliefs. And thus we've come to the last phase in the evolution of humanity, where the people of Israel, their assimilation and descent reached their final state. Throughout history it didn't happen until it never happened before that the people of Israel left the Torah completely, even the traditions. When Malchut grows over Bina in them, in the broken souls of Israel, then the souls begin to manifest the corruption in them. And here came to a state, just like always in the greatest corruption, greatest darkness, now begins to manifest the state that is worthy of redemption. So in corporeality, there is a return to the land of Israel, As Baal HaSulam writes, there is the giving from above of the land of Israel. As there was the giving of the Torah on Mount Sinai, and now we have to receive the land of Israel, receive the Torah, and realize the tikkun, the correction, and the method of correction too appeared through Rashbi, Ari, Baal HaSulam, up to our days. And now is the time when humanity sees that it's reached a level in its evolution that it's asking questions that do not belong to this world, where although there is abundance in humanity and it can have a great life on earth, people do not ask about this life. They ask about something that is above it, meaning, why am I empty? Why am I feeling bad? People seemingly have things that people never had. Most of the people, they have food, they have homes, they have work, they have families, no one is killing them and humiliating them day in and day out, and they are displeased with this life. They're asking, what is the meaning of my life? Why am I existing? Because now they're not asking about physical pleasures or money or honor or knowledge or anything in this world. And fulfillment. They're not asking for fulfillment from these things. They want fulfillment from something that is unknown, that is above it. They're not asking about this life, about why am I living here, but they're asking, what about me besides this life? That's how the question is. That's what the question really is. But people are still unaware of it. They don't understand it yet. So now begins a time when they have to get an answer, and that answer can only come by the appearance of the additional reality where we exist outside of our five senses, from a dimension that we perceive with different tools. Right now these tools are concealed within us, hidden. We have to discover them, we have to correct them, and in them we will discover the higher reality where we exist. We actually exist there too now. But our corrupted kelim suppress the sensation of the upper reality, and if we correct those kelim, we will feel how we live in both forms of reality at once, so that the flow of life will be felt as eternal, whole. And when we correct our kelim, we have to come to the correction of our mingling among nations, where first Israel repents through the light that reforms, which is something that only the wisdom of Kabbalah can bring, as the book of Zohar writes, that it can only appear at the end of the generations. So when the people of Israel begin to correct themselves, as Baal HaSulam writes at the end of the introduction to the book of Zohar, it then begins to be a light to the nations, to bring it to the nations, the correction, and then all of us as one become a kli for the inspiration of the light of divinity, the creator. That tikkun goes through two concealments corresponding to these two shatterings, these two concealments. One concealment is on the giver, the other is on the spiritual pleasures. So one goes through these two concealments in his study of Kabbalah, and the dissemination of Kabbalah. They cross the machsom, the barrier, which is the siyum, the end of Kudusha, and they move on to spiritual worlds and conquers them through his tikkun. First, in reward and punishment, in attaining the reality of the Creator as reward and punishment, and then as eternal love, and from the world of Asilut rises to himself to the end of correction, where the entire soul of Adam HaRishon that was created and received an additional of Yud, until man can come to a state where it is completely similar to the Creator in its giving, where the Tachton, which is Zon symbolizes the Tachton, the lower one, absorbs its Avyut in Zad Debina, and then the force of Bina on top of its entire Avyut. It's what we learn in the world of Tikkun, where Zahan Pin Datsilut has a small Nukva Rachel and the big Nukva Leah. Leah is actually Achab Deima. So a person comes to a desire which is Achab Deima, the desire of the Creator to benefit him. So he acquires that desire and relates to the Creator in this way, and ultimately comes to a situation where he resembles himself, reaches the level of the true level of man, where he resembles himself completely to the Creator. Because he went through this entire path himself, he also acquires the understanding of the thought of creation to delight his creatures in a degree and situation that he was in prior to his birth, when he was incorporated in the thought itself, which is actually a result of. So he rises up to the level of being exactly like the Creator. That completes this purpose, this process, reaches the end of its correction. After that, Kabbalists tell us, as we complete the 6,000 years of this world, and then the world of Tzilut corresponding to Shabbat, and then there are ascents in the 8th, 9th, and 10th millennia, which are Gilgalta Absag, and then we reach the world in Sof, and after that Kabbalists say that there are further ascents in reality, but we have no knowledge of it, not even in words from them, because they say that it cannot be expressed in words. And still in our Rishimot, all those states, although they were not rooted, we come from a lower root than that. But after our Tikkun, which is about to happen, we will of course be awarded higher and higher degrees. That's basically the summation that I felt I needed to make at the end of these lessons of the general overview of the wisdom of Kabbalah. Of course, we should add articles about the essence of the wisdom of Kabbalah, its connection to science, to religions, to man, this what's special about the correction that is before us. There are other topics that are like components of this picture that we drew. This is basically everything that I wanted to say today.